right. Let's take our hymn books. Let's take our Bibles, whatever they're called. You're going to have to deal with me in singing, so I'm glad you're here because you can't leave. We locked the door, by the way, and we have a guard there. At any rate. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to talk about leadership this morning and the importance and necessity of leaders. We're going to talk about the illustration of Moses. Anybody have a testimony you'd like to share? Something the Lord's done for you, a blessing or anything? Just real quick. Anything the Lord's done for you? Yes, ma'am. Mary Beth. Well, good. Well, amen. Praise God. Well, good. There are. You're a good Christian girl, too? Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is. She'll hit me later. I'll let you. Any rate, good. Anybody else? Anybody else? Testimonies? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I had the privilege of being there when
Angie accepted Christ. Amen, yes. Yeah, we have the baptistry. If you wonder what that is, that's aliens landing. No, it's our heater. And we try to heat the water up for about 3 hours, and we'll turn it off right before church starts. So Andy's supposed to be here and be baptized. In fact, it was interesting. She came to the youth rally. This girl, if you don't know the story, I'll tell you the story. Some of you have heard it 14 times at any rate, but it's real exciting. A girl came to our church last week with two boys, and she called me Tuesday and said, I want to be saved. And she says, what is saved? Being saved? I want to be saved. And I said, so I explained it to her and tried to lead her to the Lord over the phone. She said, no, I really want to talk to somebody, and I'd like to come to church to do it. And I said, well, okay. She says, I'll be there Wednesday night. I go, wow, okay. And so she came Wednesday night, and Kathy led her to the Lord, and she came to the youth rally Friday night. We had a great youth rally. It was a little hot in the building, but we had a good number and a good time. At any rate, she enjoyed it. And in the midst of the youth rally, she leaned over and she says, can I talk to you after service about being baptized? I said, well, sure, that'd be great. So I didn't go to her. I said, well, you know, she'll probably forget or, you know, whatever. And she came to me after the service I was eating, and she said, can I be baptized? I said, yeah, when do you want to be baptized? And she said, how about Sunday? So I said, well, sure, we'll baptize you. I'm getting the water ready and everything, and so I did that yesterday. And so that's exciting, you know, that's just exciting. And she enjoyed the youth rally. She was a really sweet girl. And I guess she's what, a senior? Senior, yeah. So at any rate, so that's exciting. And Kathy had that opportunity. Yes, John.
Just a testimony. I went to a funeral 2 weeks ago of a man who'd been a Christian and a witness to all his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And one of his grandchildren had been witness to, like, 35 years. Mm. Kept saying no. At that funeral, the preacher preached a salvation sermon and gave an invitation.
I'm excited about that. You know, I've been here 23 years. Can I tell you, in 23 years, it's happened one other time where somebody called and said, I'd like to get saved, and they came to church and received Christ. Two times. Jeez. You know, that don't happen. And, you know, the whole emphasis of Harvest Month is for us to be rejuvenated to go out and get people, because they're not knocking on our door to get saved. If you know, two in 23 years, thank God for them, but there are a lot more lost people out there than just two that need the gospel. Amen. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. Take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 10. It says, now Moses kept the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Well, that was, how many, I wonder if he'd ever seen that before. I've never seen that. I've seen some things get burned. I've seen some houses burn right down to the concrete. The fire was so hot in that house, it melted the refrigerator and freezer and other things, just melted them. I mean, they were just big piles of melted whatever, metal. It was so hot. I've never seen a bush burn but not burn up. but he did. And verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord thy God, thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard the cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the hand, out of that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we're thankful again for the reading of God's word, for the singing of songs, for the fellowship that we've had and are having. And dear God, we're just asking now for your leadership, for your guidance, for your help this morning in our Sunday school hour. I pray that through our message and through our teaching that this morning that we would determine to be the leaders that we can be and the leaders that God wants us to be. And understand that through leadership, we're going in the direction that God wants us to, that we're leading others and going and following the Lord. And again, Lord, just bless this class, bless this church, bless each individual person. We pray you'd meet their needs and have your will and way with them. We pray in the coming service that Christ would be honored and glorified also, that the Christian would be encouraged and challenged, convicted to change. And dear Lord, that Jesus Christ will be uplifted through it all. And we're, again, grateful for your goodness and mercy. Meet the prayer needs of the people here. We think of Brother Joe and Helen on vacation. Mark and Melissa, while they're away also. Others maybe traveling and out of town. We just ask for traveling mercies and guidance and direction there. Again, bless this time. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And for his sake we pray. Amen. Well, we find, and you, all of us are pretty well acquainted with Moses, who he was and how he came to be this leader that God made of him. But I want to share some things that Moses had to overcome to be the leader that God wanted him to be. We find that there's some things that I think that we see in the remainder of this passage and other places in Exodus that really, really share with us some things that remind us that Moses was flesh and blood like you and I. I've said it on several occasions, but too many times we want to make the biblical characters almost gods, you know, super Christians. Someone that God chose to do something that we couldn't, or they were so spiritual that you and I could never attain that aspect of spirituality. You know, we want to uphold Paul as some mega Christian. You know, I mean, he's just so above everybody. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't to a certain extent. He had a certain calling and everything, a certain empowerment upon his life. But I'm saying, folks, there are other men and women that can have that same empowerment, can have that same power with God and accomplish great things. Maybe not the same things that Paul did, because God doesn't call us all to do the same things, but can be great Christian leaders. And we need to understand that Moses was frail. Now, if you and I were going to choose somebody as a partner in a business or as an employee to work for us, it wouldn't have been Moses. It wouldn't have been. You know, and it's funny how God chooses the most unlikely characters. You know, he chooses David to go down into a valley to kill a giant when they had a large army that could have done the same thing, but didn't because they were afraid. And so God chooses many times men and women who are just willing, and sometimes when they're not so willing, to do a great work for them. And yet we see their frailty. Listen, don't be afraid, and we're going to talk about that really is our first point, to serve the Lord. Don't be afraid to give yourself to the Lord. Don't be afraid to be involved in ministry. Don't be afraid to become a leader that God wants us to, because listen, Moses became a great, he was not a great leader. He did not have necessarily great leadership qualities. You know, someone said leadership's not made, it's born, or is it reversed? Leadership's not born, it's made. I'm not sure, I can't remember, but I want you to know something. No matter what that says, the truth of the matter is people that that don't have the necessarily all the factors to be a leader can become a leader. They can become someone who's really taking the reins of a ministry or being faithful in a ministry, or they can become the Christian that God wants them to be. They can take the leadership role in their own Christian life and become the leader, the Christian that God wants them to be. Just because you and I are frail, just because you and I see our own things in our own life that hinder us, God doesn't look at those things. Too many times we look at them and say, well, we can't. That's what happened to Moses. You know, he can't. And too many times we look at what we don't have and say, well, I can't do that. Well, God says, he looks at us and he says, well, I see those frailties. I see those insufficiencies. I see those inabilities, but I can overcome that. That's nothing to God. That's nothing to God. And so let's look at take a closer look at Moses and some of the obstacles that he faced. Let's look at verse 11, because we find in verses 1 through 10, God's call of Moses, and starting in verse 11, Moses begins to give some excuses. And then he says in verse 11, he says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord of Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, the first thing that Moses had to overcome was this aspect of inadequacy and fear. He felt fearful because he saw himself as inadequate. Number one, we look at this, he says in verse 11, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? He didn't see himself as worthy to stand before Pharaoh. He didn't see himself as a great king, as a great ruler, as someone that Pharaoh should recognize. Who am I? And you know, too many times we look at the Christian life and we say, well, who am I that I should take that Sunday school class? Or who am I that I should take over this ministry or be a part of a ministry? Or who am I that God would use me to lead somebody to Christ or to grow in the Lord? Or what? Who am I? You know, God doesn't look at us in our inadequacies and our fears. He looks at us and says, I can overcome that and I can give you the strength. The problem with Moses was he was fearful that he would fail. Now, on two occasions, he reminds Moses that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, that was the empowerment. God was relating to Moses that he is the true God and the true God of Israel, the true God of this great nation that God had made and created, and that lineage came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when he repeated those words, it brought Moses back to that time of Abraham's call by God, and it reminded Moses that God called Abraham out of a pagan culture and made of him a great nation. It reminded him of what God could do with Abraham, and he should have thought, well, if God could do it with Abraham, he could do it with me. But he didn't think of that. All he saw was, who am I? You know, I'm not somebody that's going to be able to stand before the Pharaoh. I'm not somebody that's going to be able to stand there and speak the word of God and have Pharaoh listen to me. No, I'll be, and what he was fearful of is I'd stand before Pharaoh and die. And so what we need to understand is too many times we're fearful of what we think we can't do. Because we look at ourselves through our own eyes, but we never see ourselves through the eyes of the Lord Jesus. You see, that's the problem that we see. You know, again, going back to the Apostle Paul, again, he did have some great teaching. He was taught at the foot of Gamaliel, one of the great scholars during that time. And he had some great upbringing, you know, again, through the priesthood. And there was some things that were really taught and inbred into Paul's upbringing that allowed him to be this great Jewish religious leader that transferred over to being a great Christian leader. Do you know what? God didn't need any of that. He didn't need his Jewish teaching. He didn't need his Jewish heritage. He didn't need his Jewish custom and culture and understanding the Old Testament. He didn't need any of that. And folks, just because you and I think that we're inadequate and then we say because, you know, I'm inadequate because I never went to Bible college. That don't make a hill of beans. I know a lot of good preachers that never went to Bible college. Sometimes Bible college ruin a person, not make a person. And maybe you think the same about me. I don't know. You know, the truth of the matter is we look at our inadequacies. Sometimes we say, well, you know, I haven't been saved too long. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Aren't we supposed to be growing? And as we mature, we can grow in the ministry. Or maybe I don't have the understanding of the Word of God that I should. Well, then get that. Amen. Or maybe you think I don't have the talents or abilities. Well, wait a minute. Who did at the very beginning? You know, God didn't take me from my birth and instill in me the ability to preach or the desire to preach or anything else. That was something he's still working on, by the way, but something that he did through a process of time. And the truth of the matter, it didn't come automatic. And sometimes, folks, we say, just because I don't have it now, I might not have it in the future. But let God work in our lives, we will. And you know, the truth of the matter is, there's still a certain amount of fear we will always have in the Christian life because we want to do things the right way, amen? We want to be a blessing to other people. We understand the importance of God's Word and transferring that Word to whomever we're ministering to. And there's a fear there that I might not do what I should. I might not give it my best and I might not be in the right frame of mind. But you know what? That fear is always going to be there to a certain extent. But you know what? With Moses, God said, hey, I know you're inadequate and I know you're fearful, but I can overcome that. Have you ever talked to somebody that was just so confident they made you mad? You know, I deliver to the high schools, to the school systems, Chick-fil-A sandwiches a couple days a week. Well, they told me what to do and everything, and it wasn't a hard job. I mean, you know, any third grader could do what I do, and you know, honestly, it just wasn't very hard. But they wanted to make it harder than it was. And so the first day I rode with the boss, and we went around and showed me what I was supposed to do and how I was supposed to do it after about 15 lectures of what to do and how to do it. I mean, they sat me down three different times and said, this is what you do, this is how you do it, da, 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 da. I knew that. So the next time, it was Wednesday or something, and I usually don't deliver on Wednesdays, but they needed me, so I came in for the morning and got sandwiches to help get sandwiches together and delivered them. I came back, and they said, boss and John, my boss and the big boss came up to me. I mean, they came up to me. Is everything okay? Oh, yeah. Did you make every call? Yeah. You know, did you have the book signed? Yeah. Did you get the right sandwiches? I said, this isn't nuclear science, guys. You know, this is just taking a few sandwiches to a school. I know where the schools are. In fact, the way they had it laid out, It would take somebody 14 years to get to those schools. They were going all over the place. And I knew the city, so I knew exactly what. Do what? Oh, I hope he doesn't either. But at any rate, don't give that out, please. But I said, what nuclear science, man? I said, yeah, I got it. I said, did you get any phone calls? Oh, no. And I said, well, you might from the police, because the way you had this laid out, I had to be at certain spots at certain times, and I was having to fly. And I was driving their truck, and it said Chick-fil-A. So on both sides. But anyway, we got her done. See, sometimes we make things harder than they really are. That wasn't hard, you know. And sometimes we look at things, and Moses looked at that. This is going to be a hard thing I cannot do. Who says you can't go through discipleship? You can. Who says you can't teach a Sunday school class? You can. Who says you can't learn the sign language? You can. Who says you can't win somebody to Christ? You can. Who says you can't live holy and righteous and to be a good testimony in a lost world? You can. You see, the problem is we look at our insufficiencies, our inadequacies, and we become fearful that we can't do what God wants us to do. That was the problem with Moses. He came to a point in his life where he says, I cannot. You know, one thing that I learned when I was in discipleship training, you know, some of our people asked me if we went through this. Yeah, we did what you do in about 6 to 8 months in 5 days. We learned the verses, but we didn't learn one verse. Like, you got it easy. We learned 3 verses a day. And we had to know them, and it was going back and doing a lot of homework. We were reading through our books and doing a lot of homework, and each night, and going through everything that you go through, basically, in just 4 or 5 days. But at any rate, one thing that I learned going through this aspect of discipleship is the attitude of saying I can do it, of realizing that I can do it, and we spent 9 messages. At 3 different times, on 1 verse in the Bible that said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the whole point of that, it had 1 point, and that whole point, the whole emphasis was to assure us that whatever God wanted us to do, whatever the Word of God says we should do, we can do it. Don't be fearful of your inadequacies. God knows what you can and cannot do. He created you. He's given you the ability to do things above your abilities that you think you have or do not have, and He can help you. Secondly, there was this aspect of unbelief. If you look with me in Exodus chapter 4, and if we're going to be a leader that God wants us to be, the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to not fear the inadequacies that we have, because when we fear those, what we're saying is, I'm fearing failure. People that fear failure never do anything. Let me say this. I've tried. There's some things that we've tried here at our church that just didn't work. I tried them. They didn't work. So I quit. No. I just chucked them out the window and tried something else. Amen. Sometimes we have to reorganize what it just wasn't organized well. Or we have to redo what we're supposed to do. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes things just don't work. Sometimes things could have worked, but they didn't. And they failed. But that doesn't stop us from keep going on. Then, secondly, Exodus chapter 4. It says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he cast it out, cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto them. Now, we see something else in this passage of Scripture. We see this aspect of not only fear concerning our inabilities or abilities, but we also see unbelief in our power. Unbelief in our power, or in power. You see, look what Moses said in verse 1. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, folks, Moses had a problem. He just didn't believe God could do it. Now, let me ask you, when he spoke, was it really his voice or was it God speaking through him? Was it his power or was it God's power? Amen. If Moses was going to be this great leader, he couldn't go up in the flesh. He couldn't go up by his own power and say, hey, Pharaoh, would you let the people go, please? He couldn't go in the weakness of his own carnality and say, hey, would you let Pharaoh, we're going to go, we're going to leave. Okay, is that okay? No, he couldn't say that. He had to go in the power of God. And the thing about it is, he just did not believe in the power of God. It was sufficient enough to see him have the words and the spirit-filled power to go up and speak to Pharaoh to cause him to be convicted to let the children of Israel go. Too many times we fail to believe and have a faith in what God can do in us and what God will do. Again, with our inadequacies, well, God won't use me. God can't use me. You know, God's not interested in using me. One of two things, if that were true. Number one, you'd either be lost, he wouldn't have saved you, or you'd be dead. Do you understand that? If God wasn't interested in making you a leader and in giving you the ability to do something for him, God would either kill you or not have saved you. If you're alive, then he's concerned and he's interested and he's got something for you to accomplish. Now, we need to understand that belief plays an important part. The problem with Moses, he just didn't believe. He came to a point in his life where he said, well, if this can happen, but they will not believe me. Guess what, Moses? They don't have to believe you. It's not your word, it's not your power, it's not your spirit, it's not your message, it's God's. What they need to do is believe God. And what all you need to do is believe God. Do you know, too many times, folks, we fail to realize that when we do something and it doesn't turn out, maybe we talk to somebody about Jesus and they don't get saved. And we say, well, you know, they didn't get saved. Maybe I did it wrong. Maybe I'm just not good at this or whatever. But isn't it God? In other words, once we do what God wants us to do, isn't it up to God for the results? Amen. Who's to say that person later on is not going to be convicted about the word of God that you gave them and received Christ, maybe even on his deathbed? You know, some don't like deathbed confessions. Hey, buddy, it doesn't matter. As long as you're living, you make a confession and you trust Christ as Savior, you accept Christ as Savior. It doesn't matter when it is or where that is, just so you do it, as I said. And what we need to do is have faith. Listen, just believe God will use you. Moses said, if I go and I speak that, they're not going to believe me. Well, who cares? Go ahead and do it and let God take care of the results. Amen? Let God deal with the rest of it. A leader will say this, I'm going to go and do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to leave the rest to God. I'm going to take my responsible role. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to be as as prepared and trained as I can. I'm going to go to that class. I'm going to interpret for the deaf. I'm going to sing that song. I'm going to witness that person. I'm going to do it, but then I'm going to let God deal with the results. I can't tell you, I don't know how many people I've ever talked to about Jesus face to face. I've witnessed to them. At the flea market, I do quite a bit, showing them the three-door presentation and things of that nature. And it's amazing the people that turn up their nose or turn away not interested. It's disheartening. I witnessed to a 12-year-old boy one day. A 12-year-old boy. Now, I did ask him, we have to get permission to bring them any further, but I showed him the three doors and asked him if he would like to accept Jesus. He said, no, I'm not interested in that. I don't want that. 12 years old. You know, kids are like adults today. They've been hardened. by the world, by things of the world. And boy, I'll tell you what, they are not, people are just not interested in spiritual things. In fact, it used to be when we went out to the flea market, boy, we could win two or three people almost a month out there. Man, if now we get two or three people a year, we're doing pretty good. And it's sad. You know, sometimes your heart breaks. I had a lady one time come to a point to pray. And she says, I just can't bring myself to do it. I said, well, what's wrong? She says, I don't know. I just can't bring myself to do it. And man, it broke my heart. I said, ma'am, is there anything we can talk about? Any questions I can answer? Anything that I can show you from God's word? She says, no. And she got up and left. And I'll tell you, I don't know if it was my ego or pride or whatever. I was just crushed. I want her to get saved. I really did. You know, and I thought, man, there's going to be one more in heaven. And I just broke down and cried. I really did. It took me about 5 minutes to get back together. In fact, the guy next door came over and said, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'll be okay. You know, it's just disheartening to find people that come to a place where they will admit that they're sinners. They will admit Jesus is their Savior. They will admit their need to accept Christ, but they will not do it. And you know, I know that I'm not saying that people can't get saved today because the Holy Spirit is greater than their blindness and their darkness to the gospel. But I'm saying I believe people today are darker today than ever. And I don't know that it's harder to win people to Christ. I do know this. I do know this. It takes a good effort of somebody spirit-filled and desiring to get people saved. You know, when I was growing up, we almost had people saved on accident, honestly, with very little effort. We could go door knocking and talk to people, and just about every time we'd go have people saved. It's not that way anymore. In fact, they're looking to kick you out like I was kicked out in several places instead of talk to you. But we see, folks, this aspect of faith. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. What I have to overcome is my unbelief in my own ability, or my own unbelief in God's ability, and my unbelief in God's power. Is God's power greater? Will God's power work through me? Will God's power work for me? Will it be enough? Yes, it will. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We must believe we're going to be a leader. Well, lastly, I want to see one last thing. And Moses had to overcome some things in his life, starting with verse 10. He says, and Moses said unto him, Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, we talked about inadequacies before, but we see that he's magnifying things in his life. He's beginning to make specific excuses. And my point is, too many times we know what God wants us to do. We begin to make excuses why we can't do them. That's what, you know, everything else was really kicked out from Moses. Now he starts making excuses. Folks, listen, God knows who you are. He's not called us all to be preachers or missionaries or evangelists, but he's called us to be leaders in the aspect of being a Christian and being in a part of a church. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily the head of a ministry, but that you're leading as far as your testimony and being part of that ministry and using your life for the honor and glorification of the Lord Jesus. He had to overcome excuses of why he can't. Too many times Christians don't have a desire, or they're lazy, or they know it's going to cost them something, so they're not wanting to put forth the effort. Folks, listen, I'm thankful Jesus didn't feel that way, aren't you? He'd have never gone to the cross because we weren't worth it. Amen. He'd have never died for us. Because we weren't worth it. And so what we need to understand, and my time's gone, is listen, we can write, you know what you ought to do? Write all the excuses that you say you can't do this. And when you get them all down, take the paper and tear it up and throw it away and say, God, there's my excuses. It's in the garbage. I don't have any anymore. Because you know what? God can overcome that. And he can give you the confidence. You know what he received? He received the power of God. He received the confidence of God. But he also received the comfort of God. That he, when he went before the Pharaoh, God was with Moses. And that when he said these things were going to happen, remember the plagues that he was going to say, 10 plagues, they did happen just as Moses said. And there was that aspect of confidence and comfort that he knew that he was doing God's will and God was blessing him. And Moses became a great leader that led the children of Israel out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the 40 years of wilderness journey, all the way to the great land that God had promised them. You know what, folks? Your life's a journey, and God wants you to be a leader through it all. And he wants you to lead it from that time that you've accepted Christ as Savior. You've come out of that sin of Egypt, and you've gone through the storms of the Red Sea and the 40 years of wilderness journey until you get to that place that God's promised you as your home. Some things to overcome. Moses did it. So can we. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, we just pray now that you would help us to be the leaders that we need to be. Help us to realize that God has a place and a purpose, plan for our life. As we say on many occasions, dear God, that this needs to be the central focus of our life. Help us to live that out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.